الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Among the many things that we as Muslims are encouraged to perform is the dhikr of Allah. In fact, you can even argue that all of our actions, in essence, are a type of dhikr or remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make this concept easy, I think everybody in this room knows that dhikr is a good thing, but just to drill down here, there are many different forms of dhikr. So for example, one type of dhikr is the dhikr of the tongue, where a person recites certain litanies. If I ask you, give me an example of dhikr, some of you might say, saying subhanallah, saying alhamdulillah, saying la ilaha illallah. Obviously, there's a series of adhkar that are going to be on the screen shortly once we complete the talk. So this is all dhikr, and this is dhikr of the tongue. This is one type of dhikr, and it's probably the most common one, the one most common subtype, the type that we all can quickly relate to when we hear the word dhikr. A second type of dhikr is the dhikr of the mind. So for example, gaining knowledge in our deen is a very important type of dhikr. When we gain knowledge of our deen, it is a type of remembrance of Allah. And anytime we learn anything related to our deen, for example, I learn how to pray, I learn the issues related to prayer, the issues related to wudu, the issues related to my aqidah, etc., all of that is a type of dhikr of Allah. And that's the dhikr of the mind. A third type of dhikr is a dhikr of the heart. And what is the dhikr of the heart? The dhikr of the heart is essentially a state. And it's a state in which a person is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or remembering issues related to our deen, but it's deeply embedded within their heart. It's not something that's necessarily coming from the tongue. It's not something that's being imagined in the mind. Although there's a connection between the tongue and the mind and the heart, it's an independent type of dhikr. And this is a deeper type of dhikr in the sense that it's harder to achieve, but it's the goal of every Muslim. Every Muslim should be in a state of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we call taqwa. And where is taqwa located? Taqwa is not located on the tongue. Taqwa is not located in the mind. Taqwa is located in the heart. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, "At-taqwa hahuna," pointing to the heart. Taqwa is here. So this is a third type of dhikr. So essentially, there's three types of dhikr. This is the first point I'm trying to make today. Three types of dhikr. Dhikr number one, the dhikr of the tongue. Dhikr number two, the dhikr of the mind, which is knowledge. The dhikr number three is the dhikr of the heart, which is essentially the states that we enter vis-a-vis our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's the goal of every Muslim to constantly be in a state of dhikr. We should be consistently making dhikr with our tongue. We should be consistently remembering Allah and issues related to our deen in our heart. And we should be consistently understanding what are the things that please Allah and how can we achieve those to the highest degree, and what are the things that displease Allah, and how can we avoid those to the best of our ability. This is essentially the summary. So first point again, there are three types of dhikr. Now the second point, which is just a little subtle, is that everyone is always in a state of dhikr. And normally if you talk to a person, you might say, you know, in a casual conversation, we encourage one another towards dhikr. But I will say to you that dhikr is inherent to every single human being. And in fact, every person on the planet is continuously making dhikr. You might say, that's crazy. What do you mean every person on the planet is continuously making dhikr? How can that be? You have to broaden your scope here a little bit. You have to broaden your perspective a little bit. When we think about dhikr, dhikr is simply a remembrance. It's a remembrance of the mind, a remembrance of the tongue, a remembrance of the heart. Everyone is doing that all the time. The question is, what are people doing dhikr of? Are they doing, there's two things to do dhikr of. Either a person is doing dhikr of Allah, or a person is doing dhikr of themselves. These are the two states that a human being is always in. Either a person is doing dhikr of Allah, or a human being is doing dhikr of themselves. For example, everyday person wakes up in the morning, let's just say they're non-Muslim for a second, or even honestly many Muslims. Person wakes up in the morning, now they start thinking, what am I going to have for breakfast? What am I going to have for breakfast? The moment we start thinking about what am I going to have for breakfast, we're doing dhikr. But we're doing dhikr of ourselves. How am I going to fulfill my needs? Or how am I going to fulfill my desires? Now I pick up the phone, I start talking to my friend, or who picks up the phone anymore, sorry. Now I start texting my friend, and I say, hey, are you free for breakfast this morning? So they say, oh yeah, I'm free, where do you want to go? Oh, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. Now all this stuff comes from the tongue. Now what is the tongue really doing? The tongue is doing dhikr, but it's engaging in the dhikr of the self. Now, person says, okay, we go for breakfast, they look at the menu, right? Even before they look at the menu, they desire French toast. Nobody had to remind them, there's nothing there. It's coming from the heart. The moment they see the French toast, they say, ah, that's exactly what I was thinking. It's exactly what I was, they say it this way, I'm feeling French toast today. It's a very interesting statement. I'm feeling French toast today. Such a deep state of dhikr, I'm feeling French toast today. But essentially, what is that? If you just look at it from one angle, it's really people doing dhikr of themselves. The human beings are designed to do dhikr. They're designed to do dhikr, but they essentially do dhikr of themselves. Now, you know, the breakfast is over, the person goes to work. Now when they go to work, they start sitting with their co-workers, then everybody's talking about salary, everybody's talking about position, everybody's talking about who's the CEO. This is all a type of dhikr. Everyone is essentially making dhikr. Person starts plotting and planning in their mind. Person more than anything wants something from their heart. All of this is type of dhikr. People are doing dhikr of where they're going to live. People are doing dhikr of what they're going to eat. People are doing dhikr of what they're going to wear. People are doing dhikr of other celebrities. People are doing dhikr of the life that they imagine themselves to live. And what happens? That dhikr drives them. It drives them to go half an hour to get breakfast. It drives them to stand half an hour outside of the breakfast place because there's a long line. It drives them to save up, and stretch as far as they can to purchase the next thing that they desire. It drives them to cry when they were trying to get a house, but their bid didn't get accepted. How many emails like that do I get? They're crying. They're literally crying that their bid didn't get accepted, as if there's no other house. Okay, I get it. I mean, it's a human reaction, but the point is, what's generating such powerful movement of human being for half an hour, stand in line, go get this breakfast, you know, go buy this, want to do this, thinking about this, checking this? What's driving all of that? It's the dhikr. It's the dhikr of what, though? It's the dhikr of the self. It's me, me, me. What am I? What do I want? What do I need? What do I hope for? Why can't I have? Islam breaks the shackle of the dhikr of the self. That's another way to look at Islam. Islam breaks the shackle because when a person does dhikr of themselves, they become shackled to their desires. Now I'm shackled to what I want to eat. I'm shackled to the lifestyle that I expect to live. I'm shackled to the place that I think I should be, the house I should be living in, the neighborhood I should be in. I'm shackled to all of these things. I bind myself and I get caught up in the dunya. What does Islam do? Islam has the key to those shackles. Islam reminds us that we should be doing the dhikr of Allah. And when we do the dhikr of Allah, that drives us to achieve Allah's pleasure and a reward in the hereafter. And it's this yin and yang between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dhikr of me and the dhikr of Allah that every human being is fluctuating through. Now, subhanAllah, I'll just tell you, the vast majority of humanity is just continuously doing dhikr of themselves. They're just continuously doing dhikr of themselves. But the Muslim, even though they get caught up in the dhikr of themselves, is forced to do the dhikr of Allah. The mashayikh, you know, it's interesting. I think I mentioned this before, and I've mentioned this topic slightly before, that, you know, the mashayikh, they often, when you read the latter writings of any teacher, any sheikh, they put lots of emphasis on the dhikr of Allah. But by what I mean the latter writings, I mean the writings towards the end of their lives. They put lots of emphasis on the Quran, and they put lots of emphasis on the dhikr of Allah. And yeah, I mean, the dhikr of Allah is obviously highly emphasized, but if you think about it from one perspective, why are they saying that? They're saying that because essentially all of life is just basically a type of dhikr. And we're being reminded here that the more we make the dhikr of Allah, the more we're going to take all of the faculties that we have, delete the transient nature of this world, and achieve the permanent reality of the hereafter. But it requires the dhikr of Allah. So, for example, you come, you know, you might wake up and you might be doing A, B, and C, but we're immediately reminded to make the dua of waking up, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having allowed us to be able to experience another day. We make wudu. When we make wudu, we're doing the dhikr of preparation for prayer. When we get to the prayer, we're turning our attention away from everything and starting our day on the remembrance of Allah. Okay, now I leave the prayer, and once I get out of prayer, yes, I can easily get distracted as a Muslim. You know, I may get a little bit distracted, but even in my state of heedlessness, what is heedlessness except my own dhikr? Even in my state of doing dhikr of myself, Islam pauses me several times throughout the day and says, wait a minute, doesn't matter what you're doing, this is the time for dhuhr, you have to make wudu, you have to slow down, you have to turn away from the dhikr of yourself and turn towards the dhikr of Allah. And that's what each of the prayers is. Same with wealth. When a person has wealth, they start counting, 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 they're doing the dhikr of what they're going to buy, they're doing the dhikr of what they're going to invest in and how they're going to grow their wealth. And Islam pauses the person and says, wait a minute, you're doing the dhikr of yourself. This 2.5%, this is for the dhikr of Allah, at a minimum. And if you can give more, it's even better. Same thing with fasting. We're used to this routine where we think about food. In fact, most people revolve their lives around food. It's all revolved around breakfast, then one lunch, then dinner, and how am I going to fill the time in between? And all of that is paused when a person fasts and they're reminded to do the dhikr of Allah instead of doing the dhikr of their desires in their stomachs. From so many angles, you'll see that within the deen, obviously the whole deen is a dhikr of Allah, but it is so beautifully established at a cadence that allows every Muslim to reset themselves. This is the challenge for all of us to keep in mind. When we engage in anything, we should remember that everything is a type of dhikr. And the only question is, what are we doing dhikr of? Now, why is this so dangerous to do the dhikr of ourselves? Obviously, because when we do the dhikr of ourselves, we end up losing sight of the greater reality and becoming hyper-fixated on me, myself, and I. That's what the dhikr of Allah, that's what the dhikr of the self does. And I'll tell you that there are many diseases of the heart. For example, envy is a disease of the heart. Pride and arrogance is a disease of the heart. Conceit is a disease of the heart. But all of these diseases are essentially expressed when a person does dhikr of themselves and leaves the dhikr of Allah. And if you just listed for me every disease of the heart, I'll tell you that the cure for the vast majority of the diseases of the heart is actually just the dhikr of Allah, because they arose due to the dhikr of the self. I'll give you one simple example and we'll cap this off. For example, let's take arrogance. Why would a person become arrogant? Okay, babies aren't inherently born arrogant. I don't think I've ever heard anybody look at a baby and say, he's really arrogant or she is really arrogant. That's not how babies are born. But what happens is when these babies mature and they start becoming fixated on themselves, that makes them arrogant. So for example, they might think, I have a certain amount of beauty, and that makes me arrogant. And so, because I'm thinking about myself, I'm comparing myself against everybody else, and I'm looking, I look beautiful, I keep looking in the mirror, and I look at everybody else and put everybody else down. Or maybe a person has a certain amount of education. And like I've shared many times before, you find any high school student, they're all shaking in their boots. You find a college student, they're shaking in their boots. People who are taking their board exams are shaking in their boots. All of a sudden, once they pass the boards, they forget about the fact that they were shaking in their boots, and they start looking down upon others. Because they think, I have a certain amount of knowledge. I am so smart. I got this job. I make this much money. I know, and these people don't know. I'm the one that knows. I'm you know, a great manager, and I know how to manage this and that. These people don't, and that's why they're a failure. What's happening in all of these cases? What's happening in these cases is the person is just doing more and more and more dhikr of themselves. And the more they do dhikr of themselves, the more they pump themselves up full of air, and the more arrogant and conceited they become. It's simply just the dhikr of the self. Person looks at their possessions. They say, I have this, other people don't. I have this kind of car. I have this kind of house. I have this bank balance. I have these types of clothes. And it's those things that cause a person to become arrogant. Otherwise, a baby comes out of the womb, they have nothing to be arrogant about. They came without any clothes, without any house, with any of these possessions. It wasn't inherent within them. Sure, there might have been a propensity within them, like there is within every human being, but nobody's going to call a baby arrogant until they learn to do the dhikr of themselves. And as they do the dhikr of themselves, particularly when they begin to compare with the world around them, that pumps them up until they become these really conceited, arrogant people. We all have a little bit of it within us. So this is a battle between what? It's a battle between the dhikr of themselves versus the dhikr of Allah. Now, subhanAllah, it's very interesting. What does the Quran tell us about the reality of our status and circumstances? What does the Quran say? وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ And whatever you have, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ And whatever you have from any blessing, فَمِنَ اللَّهِ, it is from Allah. So what are we being, what is the Quran or what is the deen reminding us? The deen is reminding us that whatever you think you have, pause and recognize that it is only from Allah. And that's a type of dhikr. So maybe I have some beauty, but that's given to me by Allah. Maybe I have some wealth, but that was given to me by Allah. Maybe I have some academic prowess, or I'm a good trader or a good businessman or a good architect or a good engineer or a good lawyer, a good physician, whatever it might be, but that's all from Allah. So Islam is reminding us that rather than do the dhikr of yourself, you need to remember that all these blessings are from Allah. And you should be doing the dhikr of Allah, or we should be doing the dhikr of Allah. And that is the cure to that disease. What's the cure to pride and arrogance? The cure to pride and arrogance is to remember that everything only comes from Allah, which comes through the dhikr of Allah. If a person simply gets back to that state, then it's very, very difficult to remain pride and arrogant. This is why you'll hear the scholars say that all these diseases of the heart, do more dhikr of Allah, and avoid the dhikr of the dunya. The more we sit around people and keep talking about ourselves or keep talking about something that something that the group deems to be relevant, the more that embeds itself within our heart. For example, you'll see people, they want a job. Okay, they want a job at a firm. Let's say they want a job at some firm, I don't know, McKinsey, Boston Consulting Group, all right? So what do they want? They want some job at this firm. And how do they get that idea in their mind? It wasn't like embedded in them genetically. They're sitting with one another and they're talking it up. Oh my God, I got this job. Oh my God, if you get this job and this job and this job and this job. And then it gets to the point where they're so caught up in that world that when they don't get the job, they're like devastated and in tears because they wanted that specific job. And then you have a conversation with them and you say, but okay, you didn't get that job. Aren't there another like 5,000 opportunities out there? Why are you so fixated on this job? No, I just wanted this job. I don't know why Allah didn't give me this job. I made so much dua. I gave so much sadaqah. No, you didn't make dua. You didn't give sadaqah. You were just thinking about yourself. You gave sadaqah, but you were thinking about yourself. You weren't thinking about Allah. You gave sadaqah because you wanted the job, not because you wanted the pleasure of Allah. You made dua because you wanted the job, not because you were truly seeking what was best for you from Allah. You didn't get it. It's okay. But no, the person's like in tears, broken, doesn't know if they can come back to the masjid again, doesn't know what's going to happen with their deen, literally telling me, I don't know, I'm losing my deen. About what? It's because the person was not doing the dhikr of Allah, they were doing the dhikr of themselves. This is a very, very dangerous thing. These diseases of the heart, right, and this complaints that we have about our status and circumstance in life, and when something doesn't go our way, we become all huffy-puffy and upset. It's vast majority of this is arising because we're doing the dhikr of ourselves. Even when it's wrapped up in the dhikr of Allah. Even when we wrap it up in the dhikr of Allah, like I said, we say, I'm making dua, but we're not really turning to Allah. We're really just asking for what we wanted. And if we don't get it, we're all upset. So, sure, we should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything. But the ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be, Ya Allah, I think this is good for me. I think this job is good for me. I think this marriage is good for me. I think this investment is good for me. But I have no knowledge, only you know. And I don't decree, only you decree. And I don't want anything except your pleasure. So if this is good for me, give it to me. And if it's not good for me, just get rid of it from me because I don't care about it. I care about you, Ya Allah. That's a completely different attitude. It's a completely different attitude. People come to me and say, I'm doing so much istikhara. You don't know how much istikhara I did. I want to marry this one person. That's not istikhara. That's not istikhara. That's you imposing your will on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'udhu billah. You're telling Allah what should happen through this masquerade of istikhara. I don't care what dream you had, you were on the beach and the wind was blowing and all this. I get the most interesting stories, subhanAllah. I make them up myself too, we're all human beings. But the point here is that, look, everybody's doing dhikr, but the Muslim learns to do the true dhikr of Allah for the sake of Allah, because they want Allah's pleasure, because they want to avoid Allah's displeasure. Otherwise, it's just the dhikr of the self. And subhanAllah, like I'm saying here, I'm trying to establish a spectrum. One edge of this spectrum is the vast majority of humanity, which basically 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, is just doing the dhikr of themselves. Where am I going to have breakfast? What am I going to wear today? What are people going to say about me? How can I fulfill each and every one of my desires? And the world plays to their song. Plays their song. They're on that. They're dancing to that tune. That's one extreme. And then there's the opposite extreme. This extreme is the people who are doing the dhikr of themselves. Then there's the opposite extreme. Those are the people who are doing the dhikr of Allah. The people who are doing the dhikr of Allah are pursuing Allah for the sake of Allah with their tongue, with their hearts, with their minds. And then you got these people in the middle. That's us. There's these people in the middle. They know they should be here, but half the time they're back here. And then they wrap it up in this Islam, right? So they wrap it up in all these halal food options. They wrap it up in this istikhara of what they really want. They wrap it up in Islamic financing, right? The question when all these things are here, the way we talk and the way we live is, are we really just doing the dhikr of ourselves, wrapping it up in some sort of like pretty wrapping paper? Or are we really doing the dhikr of Allah where we are seeking the pleasure of Allah and not our own pleasures? There's a difference. And that's the challenge of every Muslim, to understand the spectrum and to ask themselves, where do I fall on that spectrum? And how can I get myself to truly do the remembrance of Allah? And the test, by the way, the test is in what happens in life. You know, like I said, I gave you the example. A person wants a job or wants a residency or wants a marriage, and they're Muslim, they're good Muslim, all right? And then they come crying, saying, or they cry, forget about come crying. They're like in tears because my house offer didn't go through. In tears because my job offer didn't happen. But the question is, like I said earlier, the question is, why are you in tears? If the tears are being driven by the remembrance of Allah, then these should be tears of joy. Why are the tears of joy? Because alhamdulillah, I tried to marry this person, and the fact that it didn't work out is a sign that Allah blessed me. Because I would have made a big mistake and it didn't happen. So I'm so happy because I made istikhara and I asked Allah to guide me to what's best, and He took this away from me. So this is a sign that Allah has blessed me and taken me away from a path that I was headed in. So these are tears of joy. The people who are doing the dhikr of Allah, they're shedding tears of joy. Ya Allah, thank you so much. I was blinded. I thought I wanted this thing. I thought I needed this thing. I thought this was what was best for me. It didn't happen after I made dua, after I made istikhara, alhamdulillah. Or there's the tears of self, the tears of broken self. Say a Muslim, making istikhara, making dua, then comes and says, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe that I was making dua to Allah. I can't believe that I made istikhara and this didn't happen. I don't know. I'm having questions now in my mind. That was not dua. That was not istikhara. That was just an expression of my dhikr of myself. I want this marriage. I want this job. I want this career. I want this residency. I want this house on Zillow. It's all me. It's all me. So look, the tears are the same. But what's driving the tears? What's driving the tears? Is it me and my broken desires that's now causing me to cry at the most silly thing? I understand it's not so silly when you're in the middle of it, but silly in the greater reality of scheme of reality? Or is what's driving my tears the remembrance and the true dhikr of Allah? So this is the spectrum. And alhamdulillah, we're not at this far off spectrum where we even have no clue. We're just every day just trying to pursue our desires and wondering how the world can serve me. Okay, that's one extreme. But we have to get to this extreme, which is everything is only for the sake of Allah. Everything is constantly for the sake of Allah. And sure, where are we permitted to do dhikr of ourselves? We're permitted to do dhikr of ourselves when it comes to our needs. For example, I need to eat two meals a day, whatever biologically, however much I need to eat, then I can do the dhikr of myself and say, where am I going to get this meal from? But even in the context of that dhikr, I still have to ask the question, is this halal and is this meal pleasing to Allah? There's some room for the dhikr of the self, but it's very, very tightly regulated by the deen. And the sunnah is even more tight. You know, minimize the food that you eat, minimize the possessions of this life, minimize the pursuits. Seek just what you need and move on. Be in this world as a traveler. Be in this world as a traveler. So this is a spectrum of dhikr. Everybody on the planet is always in a state of dhikr. The question isn't, are you in a state of dhikr? The question is, are you in a state of dhikr of yourself? Or are you in a state, of dhikr of Allah? And this is what every Muslim is being challenged with. And subhanAllah, the beauty of this deen is that it reminds us to be in continuous dhikr of Allah. And through the continuous dhikr of Allah, it frees us from the shackle of our desires and allows us to be able to disengage from the deception of this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are continuous in our dhikr of Allah. May He protect us from being absorbed in the dhikr of ourselves. And may He protect us from all the diseases that arise when we become fixated on our own lives. وَآخِرَ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ